Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
This is Rob Parker's open letter to MLB America. I have just one word for you on this day. It's heartbroken. No opening day. I understand the circumstances. I'm not blind. I'm not crazy. And the coronavirus has stopped many things we love and admire and enjoy. But it doesn't soften the blow. Still, it's so cruel, so disappointing. Today is not just any day. Today usually marks the best sports day of the year for me and so many others. If you're old enough to even remember this, the Reds always had the traditional opening day in Cincinnati. It used to be the greatest Monday of the year because Major League Baseball would open with the Reds playing their first game, and then we'd have the NCAA champion crowned that night. This is deep-rooted. It's deep down. It's a part of our DNA. It's who we are, and it dates back early. Opening day, for me, was like my Christmas, my present. Nothing could stop my joy on this day. There was nothing more I wanted to hear than,
"Play ball!"
And it's not just me. No way, no how. It's millions of Americans. MLB sells 70 million baseball tickets a year, more than all the other sports combined. So much of my love for baseball started at an early age, and my family knew how much I loved baseball. Even my mom, who was a stickler for school and about getting your work done. But when I was in junior high school, my mom used to write a fake doctor's note for me so that I could leave school early, so that I could get home to watch the Mets on opening day. I had to see the first pitch of the season on TV. I couldn't come home in the third or fourth inning. I had to see it from the beginning. And back then, I was a Mets fan. I wasn't a reporter. I was a fan. Opening day that stands out to me the most dates back to college. 1983, I was a student at Southern Connecticut State University. Me and my three buddies, we hopped in the car. We barely had money for tickets, but we had to see Tom Seaver return to the Mets. We drove from New Haven, Connecticut. And I can remember standing up in our seats in the bleachers and watching Tom Seaver walk from the bullpen and to the mound. What a moment it was!
Meet the Mets, meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kitty.
And even as I got into the sports writing business and I wasn't a Mets fan anymore, I was still a baseball fan. Still blessed to work in some of the greatest baseball towns in America. In New York, I covered the Mets and the Yankees, and it was awesome to be there, to be on that field where Babe Ruth once played. And John Sterling, the Yankees announcer, would give any big baseball fan goosebumps with his baseball play-by-play calls.
1-2. Swung on and driven to deep left. Toward the line. She is gone. Aaron Judge lined one right down the line. A Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
And when I left my hometown of New York to go to Cincinnati, I had a great job covering the Knicks for the Daily News, but I wanted to cover baseball. I went to Cincinnati, one of the all-time great baseball towns. And when I got there on opening day to see the spectacular that I always heard about, it's a holiday in Cincinnati. People are giving the day off. Some people, there's a parade. People take TVs into work. That's how big baseball is in Cincinnati. Don't forget, the Cincinnati Reds were the first professional team in sports history in this country. Yes, the Cincinnati Redlegs. And I was honored to go to Detroit to work at the Detroit Free Press and then the Detroit News, and to cover another charter member of the American League, the Detroit Tigers. And people loved the Tigers and the old Tiger Stadium. There was nothing more amazing than the sound of the crack of a bat at Tiger Stadium and the roar of the crowd. And in Los Angeles, where I am now and work, there's nothing better than the voice of Vince Scully to get the game going.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
And as a reporter, you always wanted to get to opening day hours early, 4 hours early, to enjoy BP, take it all in, usher in a new season, see friends from the past, winter gone by, smell the fresh cut grass, hot dogs with spicy brown mustard. You can smell them from the field.
Hot dogs, hot dogs, here.
This has nothing to do with the other sports, but this is tradition. Part of who we are, part of our fabric.
Talking baseball, Klazuski Campanella. Talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller. The scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque.
Damn you, coronavirus. Today was supposed to be our day. Today was supposed to be opening day, where we would stand and remove our caps all over America to honor our tradition. And we would do it too all over Canada. In the bottom of the seventh inning, hanging out with your buds or your family or your favorite girl. In the seventh inning, you know what we would do.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. I need something that's in crack.
Today is a dark day. There's no other way to look at it. There were no hot dogs. There was no beer.
Big beers! Big humongous beers!
Worst of all, there was no baseball on opening day in America. And this man here before you on Fox Sports Radio, I am just heartbroken.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, they're obviously talking about all types of different scenarios for when they start. Rob Manfred said today, I saw him on CNN, he said he hopes, he says, you know, his aspirationally, he's looking at a mid-May start, but he seems to understand that that's probably unrealistic.
Could be, yeah, a pipe dream.
Yeah, yeah. And same with Mark Cuban talking about that for the NBA. I don't see any way any that's happening for either league. Tim Kirkjian from ESPN, he was on TV recently saying he thinks it might be July.
Wow.
And then, of course, there are those that, you know, it could be even later. So we don't know, but, you know, people around baseball are throwing out all types of possibilities for whenever they do start. And the Blue Jays general manager, Ross Atkins, he tossed this out. Now, he wasn't saying it was definitive, but he was just saying it was something that's gone through his mind. Because they are talking about doubleheaders. And he said maybe they have 7-inning doubleheaders so they could get more games in. And, you know, I assume the single game would be 9 innings. To me, with all due respect to Ross Atkins, that's asinine. You can't play half the games 7 innings and half the games 9 innings. That makes no sense. So unless you're playing every single game 7 innings, which I don't think anybody wants to see, you better play 9 innings. If you're going to play doubleheaders, they got to be 9-inning games. And if they really want to experiment with 7-inning games, as a, you know, they obviously have been talking about speeding up the game. And if they wanted to really go to 7-inning games eventually, that's one thing. But to have half your game 7 innings, half of them 9, that's ridiculous, Rob.
100% with you. You cannot bastardize the game, Chris. That's the only word I could use, and that's what you would be doing. If you do that, either you're playing all 7-inning games or all 9-inning games.
Right.
And of course, nobody wants 7-inning games. That's what softball's played in 7 innings, right?
Yep.
That's not baseball. It's 9 innings. And I don't understand why people just can't, you know, we're experiencing, going through, enduring something that most have never been through, which is the country has been shut down, stopped. Everything we know to be normal is not. So the baseball season in 2020 will not be normal, but it doesn't mean that you change the game in the way we play it. That's what has to stay the same. Yes, we can play 120, Chris. I'll take a 100-game season as long as they keep it intact. And if everybody plays 100 games, the best team in 100 games should be the World Series, you know, after it's all over in the playoffs. I'll accept that championship. No, I have no problem with that.
No question about it. That would be a far more acceptable than a season in which half the games were 7 innings or you came up with some special rules that totally changed the game just to try to fit in more games. Look, when the NBA in 1999, they came off their lockout, they had 50 games.
And it was
50
fine.
50 out of 82, and it was fine. It still was legitimate because everybody's playing under the same rules. And that's one of the benefits, Rob, of baseball and basketball playing so many regular season games. Heck, if they played an 80-game baseball season, I know nobody wants to see that, but if they played 80 games, it would still be legitimate. That's a lot of games still. It's not what we're used to.
Right,
but it's still a lot. It's 80 games.
Right.
You can figure out who's good and who's bad in 80 games, and it's legitimate.
It would be different if you were playing baseball and you said, okay, the season's going to be 16 games. Then it would be baseball's not that
right.
kind of sport. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that wouldn't work.
Exactly.
Because maybe the Seattle Mariners might win the World Series.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for
knocking
Seattle.
There's no way you could do that.
Right, but I'm with you. If it's 100, if it's 85, if it's 90, I'm cool with that. I really am, considering the times and the circumstance. Same thing with the NBA. If we only want, and Chris, some teams have already played what, in the 60s, right?
Yeah, the average team has played like almost 65 games.
Yes.
So some have played like 67, some have played.
And it's only 82. You know, I could easily go to the playoffs from here.
Oh, yeah. My only thing with that is just that the guys are out of shape.
Right. You'd have to do that or maybe have like a little, exhibition
to
get back in
the shape. You either need to play games, you know, regular season games, or have, you know, maybe a 2-week training camp, and then you go right into the playoffs. You know what I mean? But yeah, I agree. They've played enough games. We know who the best 8 teams are in each conference. You know, Washington's not getting in. They're not making a run, the Wizards, okay? Sorry, Wizards fans. And you could easily do it the way it is. But, yeah, baseball, and it's going to be interesting because, you know, you saw this with the NBA in 2012, the first year LeBron won his championship. That was a shortened season because of the lockout. It was 66 games. And they were playing triple back-to-backs. They were playing games. You know, we talk about now players don't like playing back-to-backs. They were playing three games in three nights on occasion. But, Rob, the sense of urgency was tremendous. And every game felt like it mattered. Everybody was into the games. And that's what you're going to see in both of these sports, basketball and baseball, if they come back. Baseball's games are going to be so there's going to be such a sense of urgency. People are going to be into it if they play 100 games. They're going to mean more than 162. So I think that, and fans are going to, they're going to be missing the sport. So it's going to be wildly popular, I believe, whenever they do come back.
No, I agree. First of all, there'll be the thirst of not having it, right? Like we just went through today with opening day, no opening day. And if it were to come back in a couple of months, Chris, people would be just be all excited. And then you're right. You know, like you'd be like, well, I missed 40 games. I'm not missing any more this year. I bet you viewers, everything, Chris, would be through the roof because people will be like, you know, I need my fix. I already missed 40 games or 50 games. I want to see as much as I can. And I think it would be different.
And if it's a situation where they're playing, I don't know, you know, who knows what's going to happen. If they're playing in empty stadiums, then everybody's going to be at home watching them. There's no question
absolutely.
About it. Let me ask you this. Would you, if they, and perhaps this is what Atkins meant, but if you played, say you played seven game, you know, inning doubleheaders, and you made every game seven innings, and you got in 162. Would you prefer that with so every game is seven innings, even when they played single, you know, headers, if you want to call it that? Or would you rather 100 games that are nine innings?
I'd rather 100 games at nine innings. I don't want, because of the way the game is broken up, and I'm talking about stats wise, records wise. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yep.
You would totally change that. There's no reason to change that. That would be like the NFL saying, we're going to play Arena Football League in a smaller field, Chris.
Or three
you know
quarters.
What I mean?
Yeah
or something like right. that. I just don't – I don't think that's acceptable or good enough. Play the regular game. Play the way it was originally meant to play and just be accept less games. I know why they don't want to accept less games, Chris. It's not because of quality of the game.
It's money.
It's because of money. We all know it. Am I right? They want the money. This is going to be devastating to all these leagues to have to not. What was the money that came out today about the NCAA? What wasn't there a story? I can't remember.
I didn't see that, but I know.
Steve
DeSager,
see if you can find the story about the NCAA. What do you have it? What Chris? Listen to this.
It's because of no March Madness that they're going to have still the distribution in June to their Division I members, but it's going to be $375 million less than what was budgeted, and what they are able to distribute will mostly come from insurance.
Yeah, Steve, they usually make like $900 million from March Madness, I believe.
Yeah, minus operating expenses. But, yeah, they have a lot to distribute usually. It's not going to be $600 million this year.
Well, and that's the thing, too, that these leagues might have to recognize is when they do come back and fans are able to go, if the economy, at least for a few years, is, you know, somewhat decimated because of this, people aren't going to be their first – you know, priority's not going to be going to a game for season tickets. You know, so they may have to drop the prices. That's something else that they may have to consider. Who knows what could happen going forward. So there, I get it. It's a business for them. So it's hard to say money can't be their first priority. Obviously, that's what they're in the business for. But things could change in many ways for these owners of these teams. So we have to see how it plays out. But I agree with you, Rob, though. I would rather 100 games at 9 innings, because part of the game, and this is true for all sports, part of the game is stamina as well. Like, it's, you know, in basketball, a bad team might be able to hang with a great team for 2.5 or 3 quarters, but they can't do it for 4. And it's the same in every sport. Remember when the golfer that wanted to, he was handicapped and he wanted to ride in a cart about 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I can't remember his name.
What was that guy's name? Casey something. I remember that story.
Yeah. And they didn't let him. If people figured, well, he's handicapped, he can't walk the course, so why shouldn't he be able to ride in the cart? But they didn't let him because part of the game is walking the course. Like, if you don't, as a professional, if you don't walk the course, you got a big advantage over the guys that are walking the course. And so part of finding out who's the best team and all of that is it's a 9-inning game. You got the strategy and everything.
That guy's name was Casey Martin. I remember that.
Yeah.
And they said he would have an advantage over the other golfers. Walking. Have you ever walked 18 holes? I mean, it's a difference.
It's a whole different, no question. And so it's all a part of the game now. And so with the bullpens and the closers, and especially now with all the specialists, 9 innings is what it is about. It shouldn't go to 7.
Not at all. And I just can't imagine that baseball purists have been through the ringer, Chris, with, you know, wild cards and all these other changes and whatnot. And I do not believe that there's any way that the people who watch over the guardians of baseball will allow that to happen. And I don't think you as a commissioner would ever want to be a part of that, because that would be a part of your legacy.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Are you ready?
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
We're going big.
It's go time.
It's Broussard's Fab Five.
All right. These are my most memorable opening day performances during my lifetime. Most memorable opening day performances of my lifetime.
Number 5.
2017, Madison Bumgarner goes deep twice against the Arizona Diamondbacks to become the first pitcher ever to hit 2 home runs in 1 game on opening day. Bumgarner had a perfect game on the mound through 5 innings, but gave up 3 runs in the 6th. No problem in the 7th. He steps to the plate and hits his 2nd home run to tie the game before turning the ball over to the bullpen. The Giants lost the game, but it certainly wasn't the fault of Bumgarner, who also struck out 11.
Number 4.
2013, Clayton Kershaw hits the only home run of his career. Period. The only home run of his career in a game in which he was terrific on the mound and at the plate. In addition to the dinger, Kershaw threw a complete game shutout to lift the Dodgers over the Giants. It was a precursor to things to come for Kershaw that season. He drove in, check it out, a career high 10 runs that year at the plate. And more importantly, though, he went on to win the 2nd of his 3 Cy Young Awards.
Number 3.
1988, George Bell becomes the first player ever to hit 3 home runs in a game on opening day. All 3 came off a 2-time Cy Young winner, Brett Saberhagen. The performance came fresh off the only MVP season of Bell's career.
Wow.
And if you're wondering, 3 other players have gone on to hit 3 home runs in an opening day game: Tuffy Rhodes, Dimitri Young, and Matt Davidson.
Number 2.
1999, Raul Mondesi goes 4-for-5 with 2 home runs and 6 RBI in a Dodgers victory over Arizona. So the Dodgers are down 6-3, 2 men out in the bottom of the 9th. All appeared lost. Mondesi steps to the plate, smacks a 3-run homer to tie it and force extra innings. Then 2 innings later, with 2 outs and 1 man on, he goes yard with a walk-off homer to give the Dodgers the 8-6 win.
Number 1.
1974, Mark stole a little of my thunder. Mark from Sacramento, Hank Aaron, receiving hate mail throughout the entire offseason. Homers in his first at-bat to tie Babe Ruth's record of 714 home runs. Aaron wanted to sit out the whole three-game series in Cincinnati so he could break Ruth's record in Atlanta. But under pressure from Commissioner Bowie Kuhn, Aaron played two of the three games. He went hitless in his other game in Cincinnati. He wanted to break it in Atlanta. So in the first game, the Braves home opener against the Dodgers, Aaron homers and becomes the new home run king. Those are Broussard's Fab Five for this week. What do you think, Rob?
Wow, very impressive. That was some good stuff.
Surprised you. I was like, and Steve DeSager and Mark from Sacramento stole a little of my thunder.